Welcome, everyone. We're diving deep into company culture today. And get this, we're using BookAuthority.org's 20 best human resources books of all time list as our guide. Pretty cool, right?
It's a fantastic list. And what's really striking is that Chris Dyer's own book, The Power of Company Culture, is right there at number 9.
That's awesome. It really shows how influential his work is in the HR world.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll be connecting back to his 7 pillars framework throughout this whole deep dive.
Oh, definitely. I mean, for those of you who follow Chris's work, this is going to be a chance to see those pillars in a whole new light.
For sure. And for anyone who's new to his ideas, well, buckle up. This is going to be a great intro to how to build a company culture where everyone thrives.
Okay, so before we get lost in the details, can you give us a quick overview of the top 10 books on this list?
You got it. Starting at the top, we've got The Making of a Manager by Julie Zuo.
I've heard great things about that one.
Yeah, it's really practical, you know, full of advice for new managers on everything from building trust to giving feedback, that kind of stuff.
Which totally aligns with Chris's emphasis on leadership, right? He always says that leaders are key to shaping company culture.
It's so true. And Julie emphasizes that great managers, they're not just born that way, they're made. She gives you a framework for developing those leadership skills.
I love that. It's like you don't have to be some kind of superhuman to be a great leader. You can learn and grow into that role.
Exactly. Okay, moving on to number 2. We have Work Rules by Laszlo Bock.
Okay, now that's a name that carries some weight. Google's former head of people operations, right?
The one and only. And this book, it's like a peek behind the curtain at Google's legendary HR practices.
I gotta admit, I'm always fascinated by what Google does. They've got this reputation for being so innovative, not just with their products, but also with how they treat their employees.
Yeah, and Bock's insights, they go way beyond just perks and ping pong tables.
Right?
He talks about, like, radical transparency.
Sounds a lot like Chris's emphasis on transparency, one of his 7 pillars.
Totally. And Bock also talks about giving employees tons of autonomy, encouraging them to take ownership and learn from their mistakes, even big ones.
Which, again, aligns with Chris's work, right? His pillar of mistakes is all about creating a culture where people aren't afraid to take risks.
100%. And Bock digs into the idea of purpose, how important it is for employees to feel like their work has meaning.
Which connects to Chris's pillar of uniqueness, I think. It's about recognizing and valuing what each individual brings to the table.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got Julie Zuo on leadership and Laszlo Bock giving us a glimpse into Google's magic. What's next on this list?
Hit me with it.
Okay, this one takes a slightly different approach. It's called The Truth About Employee Engagement by Patrick Lencioni.
Intriguing title.
Right. Lencioni focuses on what he calls the 3 root causes of job misery: anonymity, irrelevance, and immeasurability.
Oh man, job misery. I think we've all been there at some point.
Definitely. But here's the thing. Lencioni doesn't just point out the problems. He offers solutions.
And I bet those solutions connect back to Chris's 7 pillars somehow.
You bet they do. For example, let's take anonymity. When employees feel like just a cog in the machine, their work loses meaning.
I can see that.
Lencioni says, to fight this, you got to create a culture of acknowledgement, a place where people feel seen, heard, and appreciated for their unique contributions.
That sounds so familiar. It's practically word for word from Chris's pillars of acknowledgement and listening.
Yeah. It's all about making employees feel like valued members of the team.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about the other 2 causes of job misery, irrelevance, and immeasurability?
Mm-hmm.
How do those tie into Chris's work?
Well, Lencioni says that when employees don't understand how their work contributes to the bigger picture, they feel irrelevant.
Makes sense.
His solution: clear goals, metrics, and systems for tracking progress. Let people see how their work makes a difference.
Ah, that's how it connects to Chris's pillar of measurement.
Bingo. And as for immeasurability, well, when employees don't know what success looks like, they feel lost, right? Lencioni's answer is to create a culture of clarity and transparency. You need to communicate expectations, give regular feedback, and, you know, have systems that allow people to track their progress.
Sounds like a recipe for success to me. And doesn't that connect back to Chris's pillars of transparency and measurement as well?
You got it. It's amazing how these ideas are all so interconnected.
It really is. I feel like we're building a really solid understanding of the power of company culture just from these 3 books.
I know, right? And we're just getting started. There are so many other gems on this list.
I'm hooked. Let's keep going. So many great insights already, and we've only just scratched the surface.
It's mind-blowing, right? The more we dig into these books, the more we see how these ideas about company culture, they all kind of weave together.
It's like this tapestry of best practices and philosophies, you know? And it makes me think about something Chris wrote in his book about the difference between a good company culture and a thriving company culture.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. A good culture might have some positive elements, but a thriving one, that's where those elements are like baked into the DNA of the organization.
Exactly. So how do we get there? What are the specific practices that take a culture from good to great?
Well, one thing that keeps popping up is this idea of empowering employees. We saw that in Laszlo Bock's book, right? Google's big on autonomy.
Right. Give people freedom, let them take ownership. It's like a recurring theme in these books.
Totally. And Patty McCord, you know, chief talent officer at Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Another company known for its, shall we say, unique culture.
She's got a book on the list called Powerful, and she's all about treating employees like adults, giving them clear expectations, and then, boom, getting out of their way.
Which is very much in line with Chris's pillar of transparency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust your people, be open with information, and they'll step up.
Absolutely. And then there's this whole thread about building a culture of trust, which Julie Zuo talks about a lot in The Making of a Manager.
It's fundamental, right? If you don't have trust, you don't have anything.
For real. It's not just about trusting your employees to do their jobs. It's about creating a space where they feel safe to take risks, to speak up, even to, like, mess up sometimes.
Which brings us right back to Chris's pillar of mistakes.
Yep. You can't have innovation without some stumbles along the way.
Okay, so we've got empowerment, we've got trust, and oh, we can't forget about the importance of purpose, that sense of meaning in work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where Chris's pillar of uniqueness comes in, making sure each person feels valued for who they are and what they bring to the table.
So it's like a thriving company culture has all these elements working together: empowerment, trust, purpose.
Hmm.
It's kind of beautiful when you think about it.
It is. It's like this ecosystem where people can do their best work and feel connected to something bigger than themselves.
It's making me rethink how we do things at my company.
See, that's what I love about these deep dives.
Yeah.
They get you thinking, right?
Totally. But hey, before we get too philosophical here, let's circle back to Chris Dyer's seven pillars.
Good idea. It's helpful to keep those pillars in mind as we explore all these different books and ideas.
All right. So we've hit on transparency, mistakes, and uniqueness. What about the other four? Positivity, measurement, acknowledgement, and listening.
They're in there, trust me. You just have to look for those connections.
Okay, I'm all ears. Give me an example.
All right, let's take positivity. Now, it might sound kind of fluffy, but it's actually super important.
Oh, I agree. A positive work environment can make all the difference.
Totally. In the Essential HR Handbook, Sharon Armstrong and Barbara Mitchell, they talk a lot about creating that kind of positive, supportive atmosphere.
Which aligns perfectly with Chris's pillar of positivity, right?
Yeah.
Celebrating successes, focusing on solutions, that kind of thing.
Right. And then there's Love 'Em or Lose 'Em by Beverly Kay and Sharon Jordan Evans. They're all about showing employees appreciation, making them feel valued.
Isn't that essentially Chris's pillar of acknowledgement?
You nailed it. It's all about making people feel like their contributions matter. And that ties into the whole listening thing, you know, another one of Chris's pillars.
Right, because acknowledgement without genuine listening, it's kind of empty, isn't it?
For sure. So you see, it's all connected.
I'm starting to see the big picture here. It's like Chris's seven pillars are the foundation, and then these other books are giving us all these tools and strategies to actually build on that foundation.
Exactly. It's not just theory. It's a practical roadmap for creating a company culture that works.
Okay, so measurement. That one always feels a little bit, I don't know, corporate-y to me. How does that fit into this whole picture of a thriving company culture?
I hear you, but measurement doesn't have to be all about cold, hard data. It's about knowing what you're aiming for and, you know, figuring out if you're actually getting there.
So it's like a reality check, making sure your actions are matching your intentions.
Exactly. And it helps you figure out what's working and what's not so you can constantly improve.
Which is crucial for building a thriving culture, right? It's got to be a living, breathing thing that evolves over time.
100%. It's like, if you don't measure it, how do you know you're actually making progress?
Makes sense. It's like having a compass to guide you on your journey.
Exactly. And, you know, this all circles back to the power of company culture.
It's amazing how much we've already uncovered, and we still have more ground to cover.
I know, right? This list of HR books is like a treasure trove of wisdom.
I can't wait to dive deeper into Chris's seven pillars and see how we can apply those to real-world situations.
Me too. It's all about taking these ideas and putting them into action to create a workplace where everyone can thrive.
It's really amazing how much these HR experts emphasize the human side of work.
It's not just about, like, hitting targets and following procedures, right? It's about creating a workplace where people actually feel good about being there.
And that reminds me of something we talked about earlier, the difference between a good company culture and a truly thriving one.
Yeah, a good culture might have some perks, you know, maybe a casual dress code or something, but a thriving culture, that's something special.
It's magnetic, it attracts top talent, and keeps them engaged.
Totally. It's the kind of place where people don't just clock in and out. They actually feel like they're a part of something meaningful.
They come alive at work, you know, and I think Chris Dyer's seven pillars, they give us a framework for building that kind of environment.
For sure. So let's break it down pillar by pillar. We've already touched on some of them, but I'd love to hear your take on how each one contributes to building a thriving culture.
Awesome. Okay, so transparency. Chris talks a lot about open communication, right?
Absolutely. Honesty, clear expectations, that's the foundation of trust.
It's like when you're transparent about your decisions, your goals, even your struggles, it creates this sense of safety, you know, like everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. And it empowers employees to, you know, make better decisions, contribute more effectively.
Which leads us to mistakes. Yeah. Another one of Chris's pillars.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one. Chris encourages leaders to create a culture where it's okay to, you know, experiment, take risks, even screw up sometimes.
Because failure is a part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Especially in today's world, things are changing so fast.
Totally. What matters is how you handle those mistakes. Do you learn from them? Do you adapt?
And that requires a culture where people aren't terrified of making a mistake.
100%. People need to feel safe to try new things, even if they don't always work out.
Okay, so we've got transparency and mistakes.
Yeah.
What about measurement? That one always feels a little more, I don't know, corporate-y to me.
Yeah, I get it. But measurement, it doesn't have to be about micromanaging or anything like that. It's more about, like, having a clear direction, knowing what you're trying to achieve.
So it's about setting goals and then, you know, tracking your progress to see if you're actually moving in the right direction.
Exactly. And it's about giving employees the feedback they need to grow and develop.
Which brings us to acknowledgement.
Right.
Recognizing and appreciating people's efforts.
That's huge. It's not just about, you know, throwing money at people or giving them a pat on the back. It's about genuinely valuing their contributions.
And that requires us to actually listen to them, which is another one of Chris's pillars.
Absolutely. Listening, it's not just about hearing words. It's about understanding perspectives, you know, empathizing with people's concerns.
Creating a space where people feel safe to share their ideas, their feedback, even their criticisms.
Exactly. That kind of open dialogue, it's essential for building a culture of continuous improvement.
Okay, so we've got transparency, mistakes, measurement, acknowledgement, listening. What am I missing?
Uniqueness. Chris is a big believer in celebrating what makes each person special.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Recognizing that diversity is a strength.
It's about making sure everyone feels like they belong, like their unique talents and perspectives are valued.
I love that. And last but not least, positivity.
Ah, yes, positivity. This one's all about, you know, fostering a sense of optimism, encouraging people to see the glass half full.
It's not about ignoring problems. It's about approaching challenges with a can-do attitude.
Right? Exactly. It's about creating an environment where people feel supported, encouraged to do their best work, even when things get tough.
So there you have it. Chris Dyer's seven pillars of company culture. What a journey.
It's a powerful framework, that's for sure. And you know, it's not just about making people happy. It's about creating a workplace that's productive, innovative, and successful.
And as we've seen throughout this deep dive, these pillars, they really resonate with some of the brightest minds in HR.
It's not just Chris's ideas. It's a whole movement. You know, people are realizing that company culture, it's not just some fluffy concept. It's crucial to the success of any organization.
So for everyone listening, we encourage you to check out Chris's book, The Power of Company Culture, and really dive into these seven pillars.
Think about which one speaks to you the most, you know, and how you can put those principles into action in your own workplace.
Because even small changes can make a big difference.
Totally. It's all about creating a ripple effect, you know, spreading those positive vibes.
And remember, building a thriving company culture, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing journey.
It's about constantly learning, growing, and adapting.
So let's keep the conversation going, let's share these ideas, and let's build workplaces where everyone can thrive.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time.